It's time for What's Up with Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern.
Morena, Prime Minister, how are you?
Morena, not too bad, thank you.
It's good to have you on the show today. We should start by talking about the Dawn Raids apology, which happened on Sunday. Pretty important bit of history going down there. What was the most striking part of the whole event for you?
I think going into the event, had been told and had, of course, heard stories from our own Pacific MPs in the Labor Party, their own stories and their own connection to the Dawn Raids, to their families. I knew that it was still, even after all these years, really raw for a lot of people, but to be in a room with so many where that was so clearly the case, that was the thing that really stood out to me. Also, the traditional elements of the ceremony incorporated into it was a traditional Samoan way of acknowledging an apology, and I think to have that as part of the event was really important as well.
It certainly feels like a really crucial moment in what has been a long traumatic part of our culture here in Aotearoa. Yes. I wanted to talk a bit about Princess Mele Siu'ilikutapu Kalaniuvalu Fotofili of Tonga and what she was saying in her speech, because that was pretty impressive. She said the apology is a move in the right direction for the healing process, but yes, that the VA could be better. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, so what she was referring to, and she accepted the apology, and I think that was a really, really important part of her acknowledgement as well. And it was really important and special to have her there. But what she was saying was that that she wanted additional consideration of those who continue, who live in New Zealand today and may not have legal status. Now, that's something that's actually been brought up with us previously. The decision that we made was that in the intervening period, in the last 50 years, there have been forms of amnesty around those who are what are commonly called overstayers, and that has happened since the Dawn Raids. And so when I ask people whether or not those who were part of the Dawn Raids at the time, or their family members, whether or not they're likely to still have irregular visa status or irregular status in New Zealand, for the most part, many people believe that would be unlikely. But there are people who since then have come into New Zealand who may well be. Our view was that we're doing a big piece of work on immigration at the moment, and it felt to us like a more complete way to consider any of those issues as part of that, rather than separately as an ad hoc thing attached to the Dawn Raids apology.
I guess kind of connected to this, we've seen earlier in the week the government's announcement that REC workers from the Pacific will be allowed one-way quarantine-free travel into Aotearoa. Should seasonal workers who return year after year to do this essential work for the economy be given permanent residency?
Well, actually, that's not certainly one of the things that when I've visited our Pacific Island neighbours who participate in REC, one of the things, the reasons why they're being so supportive of that scheme is because their workers come home. And so I don't think you'd find them likely to ever advocate for a scheme that sees their skilled workers coming to New Zealand on a one-way ticket. For many, the value of the scheme is the fact that they maintain connection. They have those remittances that go back into those economies, and that their workforce ultimately stays within, Samoa and Tonga and so on. So that's been an important part of that scheme from their perspective, is that people come home. And actually, one of the real humanitarian issues that we've had since COVID is that we had RSC workers who were trapped, their homes closed the borders, and we saw real distress with those workers wanting to return. So it's probably REC isn't quite the place where we would consider those kind of issues.
Well, we're going to talk a little bit more about COVID in a second, but I do want to just touch briefly on the latest News Hub Read research poll, which has put Labor down 9.7 points.
Off 52 from memory, so
yes,
quite high.
Yes, but there's a lot of ways you can read a poll like this, but what do you think is the reason for this drop for Labor at the moment?
Oh, look, I would just add, you know, that it puts us on 43 and still with the ability to govern. But that's not to say that we, of course, don't hear and don't listen when we see feedback. That does demonstrate that, that people have, you know, some particular areas of concern. But I get that not from polls. Polls don't give me that level of information. Talking to people does. And what I'm hearing and feeling at the moment is that this year has been hard. In many ways, harder than 2020. You know, we know the pandemic's with us now for a long time to come. We're having to adapt to what it means for our lives. There are things that we can do to more clearly set out the plan out of some of the restrictions we have at the moment. And there are things that we can do that as we can, you know, change, adapt to climate change, make our economy more sustainable. There are ways we can ease that path, but we can't change the direction we're on. We just have to acknowledge that we can't stand still, but there are things that I think we can do to make that transition easier.
Next week, we are going to hear details about your government's plans for reopening the borders eventually, whatever that looks like. And you have just mentioned that we're starting to get this idea that COVID's not going to be necessarily just fixed by the vaccine being rolled out.
Yeah.
What are the ongoing issues we can expect to be facing as a country for the next sort of 1 to 3 years?
Yeah, so from on 12 August, so next Thursday, we'll share some of the advice we've been getting from our public health experts in New Zealand, led by Professor David Skegg. And really, it will talk about predominantly the next 6 months, and then a bit about what the beginning of the year might look like. I think the really important you know, thing that we're seeing at the moment is a lot of countries embarking on some experiments on how they open up, because a lot of countries do still have restrictions at their borders. But Delta is changing up their game quite a bit. And I think the one thing we're really mindful of is no one wants a situation where after all this work on vaccine, we end up creating an environment where we produce, you know, variants that are more effective on vaccinated individuals. So we have to think of all of the possible outcomes in the future whilst keeping our eye on still making sure New Zealanders have as many freedoms as possible because that's served us so well so far.
Let's talk a bit about the Australian travel bubble pause. We're seeing, you know, 2 months is the minimum. What's going to need to change over in Australia for you and the government to feel confident with starting to resume some travel there?
Yeah, so we said at the time that we paused that the thing that we'd be looking for is for their outbreak to be contained. You know, in New South Wales, one of the issues there, of course, being that obviously has been a significant outbreak, and just the effect it was having on other states through no one's no fault of anyone, but just for the fact that it is very hard to maintain solid iron cast borders. What we're seeing in Queensland at the moment, though, is an entirely different outbreak. But again, containment is what we'll be looking for at the end of September.
And this does kind of, I guess, move into this territory of talking about MIQ, which has been kind of a hot button topic recently, particularly with the pausing of the travel bubble. We're also seeing that the Human Rights Commission's received 30 complaints about the MIQ booking system. How is the government going to manage this ongoing high demand for isolation facilities and this criticism that it's an unfair and perhaps discriminatory process as it stands?
Well, first thing, if we've successfully brought 158,000 people home, and at any given fortnight we're accommodating the equivalent of a small town in New Zealand in managed isolation, 4,000 people, that puts us, from memory, three times, I believe it is, higher to, when you take into account our population, than the number of people Australia are bringing back. So it is a significant undertaking, but there's a lot of demand right now. April, May, we had vacancies. Now it is pretty tight. We do keep releasing vouchers, so we're not booked out, for instance, till the end of the year because we haven't released everything, and that's to try and accommodate the fact that some people will need to travel and they don't know that months in advance. But we do think there are other things we can do to improve fairness. You can't use bots to book a system, but some people book a place, but some people are using third parties to try and book places for them. There are things that we think we can do to try and improve some of the fairness. So Minister Atkins is looking at the moment, and we'll spend the next couple of weeks seeing how we can tweak it to make it a bit more accessible and a bit fairer for people.
Will there be discussions with, I mean, there's particularly with this this recent report from the Human Rights Commission around these complaints, there's been, you know, concerns from disability groups, particularly people who have vision impairment and also the elderly as well, struggling with this system. Is there going to be much conversation with those groups to make sure that that is something that's a bit more representative going forward?
Yeah, and some of the things that people are complaining about as being unfair in some ways, you know, enable others to have fair access as well. And so, yeah, there are things that we've tried to do to make it fair for one group that other groups have claimed make it unfair for them. So it has been particularly, it is difficult when it's high demand, but we're constantly having to strike the balance here. And we have said in April, May, we did say to New Zealanders, if you need to come home now. There's space, and in the coming months, it is tight. So we've tried to warn people, and also we've continued to tell people, do not travel. Just don't leave unless it is absolutely necessary, because there is this constraint. But as I say, we will keep looking at improvements. We will hear where people have those, you know, concerns that they're raising around access, and see how we can improve the system for them.
Well, thank you so much for your time this morning, Prime Minister. It's always excellent to have you on the show. Have a great month until we speak next, and I hope you're feeling a little bit better. I know you've been a bit poorly.
I have, thank you. I am just following my own advice. And if you feel sick, get a COVID test.
Excellent, absolutely. Hey, thank you very much. We'll
speak
to you soon. Ka kite.
Cheers. Ka kite.
That was What's Up with Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern.